And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. What is wrong with this picture? What is wrong with this picture? Also, why are we thinking no? No. And then we're going to dive into the character of prayer and close it out with the end game, or it all leads to this.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, yes. Living, yes. Prevailing, yes. Politics, no. Entertainment, I think it is. My wife, not so much. And current events, meh, yeah, I guess. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, and my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation, but peanut M&Ms. Because unfortunately, I had a bag of those today, and I wasn't supposed to. And I hope my wife is not listening. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You can take a short break and then come back. But stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says he loves the news media but objects to what he calls fake news.
In his speech at CPAC, the country's largest annual gathering of conservatives, the president took aim at one of his favorite targets, the press. He emphasized, though, that he's not against all news media.
Only against the fake news media or press. Fake.
And the president said he's opposed to anonymous sources. Ironically, his speech came just hours after members of his own staff held a press briefing and refused to allow their names to be used. Greg Clugston at CPAC in National Harbor, Maryland.
Meanwhile, there's been another dust-up between the media and the Trump White House. Several news organizations said they were kept from joining an informal White House press briefing today. Organizations that were barred from the gathering by White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer included the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, CNN, and Politico. The Associated Press chose not to participate. Cold weather is moving back into the Midwest after days of spring-like temperatures. Forecasters are warning of some severe weather in the change. Lead forecaster John Hart at the Storm Prediction Center says the massive storm system is not expected to impact the East Coast.
It looks like this system will not be nearly as big of a player in the eastern United States, eastern seaboard, on Sunday. There'll be some risk of thunderstorms and maybe a few strong storms in the mid-Atlantic area, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and so forth. But I think the primary impacts of this storm will be out across the Midwest with the heavy snow and blizzard and then potential severe weather.
NASA is weighing the risk of adding astronauts to the first flight of its new mega rocket designed to eventually send crews to Mars. The space agency's human exploration chief says his boss and the Trump administration have asked for a feasibility study. A record day on Wall Street as the Dow was up by 11 points, the Nasdaq rose 10, the S&P advanced 3.5. This is SRN News.
Miss Foster, you must alert the authorities immediately.
Why is that, sir?
All these new people we hired have been replaced by alien life forms.
And what makes you say that?
They're all here on time.
That's because they're from helpwantedsandiego.com.
That's their home planet?
No, it's the job site. It's so easy to apply that the number of applies per posting are now up over 57%.
Why are they all smiling so much?
Because they're happy.
Because they're not human.
Could be because they don't have to drive ridiculously long distances.
In their little spaceships.
In their cars.
The pod people do seem to be good at what they do.
Well, we get some of our best hirees through HelpWantedSanDiego.com.
Do we?
The site is super mobile friendly, and the apply process is so easy. The applies are up over 57%, so they have more qualified local employees than ever.
So what is that strange sound I hear? Surely some intergalactic language?
I believe it's called laughter.
Well, at least they've come in peace. But whatever do we feed them?
I'm going to go with lunch. Lower prices to post jobs, mobile friendly, and so easy to apply to great local jobs. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
Mark Larson and Tony Ramirez of Singing Hills Memorial Park.
Tony, we've been saying for years, Singing Hills Memorial Park is not what you think of in a cemetery. You know, it's a beautiful place, like going to a park, and you can only know that if you go out and take a free tour. Great time of the year to do that, but also explore some of the new additions and the new options.
Yes, sir. If you mention this ad, you will find significant savings if you come out and see us. We also have unique opportunities such as private estates for your own family.
New mausoleum is there now, too. The special garden areas, just a gorgeous place, and it's a wonderful place to reflect on not only beautiful nature and creation, but also to think about the future. Do what we did years ago. Take care of those future needs so your family doesn't have to deal with it later on. That gives you peace of mind. It's a wonderful feeling. It really is. Go see our friends at Singing Hills Memorial Park, 619-444-3000.
Singing Hills Memorial Park.
619-444-3000.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I want to remind you of a couple of things. Don't forget about Eric Meekins' show on Sundays at 8 a.m. This is our prayer. I've talked to you about it before. I'll talk to you about it again. Here's the dealios. It's a live show, so you can call in and get prayer anytime. If you call in and say, I'd like you to pray for me, but I don't want to reveal everything, that's fine. You can just share that. But getting people to pray with you and for you is a fantastic part of the kingdom of God. And why not have more people be praying with you on a subject that you're needing help in? Why wouldn't you? One of the things we used to talk about is we talk about this in the master's program, is you get one person together, and let's just say that one person with another person, one person has an ounce of the Holy Spirit, another person meets that person, they have an ounce of the Holy Spirit. You know what you got between the two people? 2 ounces of the Holy Spirit. It's like, that's a great idea. So why not have that collective element of faith and confidence? And have you ever noticed praying for other people, you always have a little more faith praying for somebody else than you do for yourself, believing that God's going to do it. And for some reason, it rises up. You know, they have figured out there is a part of you that when you give sacrificially or participate for somebody else, it's a little endorphin that goes off in your little brain. I'm not saying your brain is little. I'm saying in your brain. And it gives you a connection that you can't get in any other release, was substituted by medication or otherwise. It's kind of cool. It's like, yeah, I have no doubt in my mind God set us up that way. So that's just how we do it. So check it out Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. This is our prayer. Eric Meekins, we give a big shout out to Eric. Also, if you're a church or a ministry and you're trying to figure out, you want to do some kind of trip to Israel and you can't figure out how you can get some of those great discounts, we have that for you here at KPRZ. You can do it directly through me. I help coordinate it because Reuven Doran is great brother in the Lord, and he's made a big deal with Salem, and they do it in all the stations, all the cities, not just me personally, but Reuven and I connect really well. And if you have a group and you want to go, and even if it's not 10 people, if it's 2 or 3 or 4 people, and you're looking to get a discount, I can put a couple of them together and just send them off. And instead of me getting anything for it, like, they'll say, well, if you get us this many trips booked, then we'll give a free trip here or there. All that free trip stuff and all that stuff given right back to the people that do it so that everybody else can get the discount. I'd rather just do that. Let it be a blessing for everybody. How about that? You want more information on that, get a hold of me, davidspoon at kprz.com. Doesn't matter if it's a small church or a big church, I'll be glad to help coordinate it. Okay? All right, there you go. That's just laying it out there the best I can. I am so excited to teach what I'm about to talk about this. Oh, I think we have a sound in the very first. We do have a sound. Let's get ready for the sound, but I need a lot of time, so let's fire away on what is wrong with this picture.
I can save... No, I was wrong.
Okay. So you don't know why that's good. That is from Robin Hood, Men in Tights, a Mel Brooks movie. And yes, I like Mel Brooks movie. I was born and raised Jewish. What kind of question is that? And that's when Blinken, who's blind, is up in the tower, the watchtower, looking for people who are coming, which is funny because he's blind. And then he falls, and then all of a sudden, for about a split second, he can see, and then he bumps into a tree, and then he's blind again. It's all comedic. But the point is, that's not necessarily that far off from how we see things. So we talked about Jonah the other day. Twice this week we talked about Jonah. And I just want to go back to that and then kind of come to the core of it. In Jonah 2:1, it simply says this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Okay? This is what we talked about the other day. Now just listen to what I said. So Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Now, where was Jonah when he prayed to the Lord his God? Where was he? He was in the fish's belly. Where was he? The belly of the fish. Okay, Dave, he was in the fish's belly. I got it. So he didn't pray, like we talked about, while he was going into the fish. He had to wait until he was already in the fish's belly. Not the fish's jaw, not the fish's throat, but the belly. A little digestive process. There are some scholars that believe that it could have been a full 3 days before he prayed. Some say unconscious, some say in rebellion. Does it matter? The dude went from the outside of the fish to the inside of the fish and didn't pray until he was on the inside of the fish. I think of Jaws, I think of me going inside the shark, and I think, who is not praying while they're going in? When things were going from bad to worse for Jonah, you know what he did? Watch this. He prayed. What's wrong with this picture? Well, let me read this to you. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. See, when we have trouble, what should we do? We should pray. Everybody agree? Oh, sure. That's the time, you come before the Lord. But here's the problem that we have that I want to talk about. What we do is we pray, right? All right? And Jonah prayed, right? But what we're supposed to do is pray. Get ready. This is the big word I want you to use, Tugboat Todd. We're supposed to pray first. First. You see, what Jonah did was he prayed when it was bad to worse. And what the scripture says is, hey, you got trouble? Pray. I think the trouble happened when he was spit into the water or thrown into the water by the people on the boat even before the fish swallowed him. But then the fish swallows him. And while the fish is swallowing him, he's not praying. But scripture says, hey, you got some trouble? Pray. But what do you and I often do? What do we often do? Let's just be honest. We exhaust every single element we can to solve whatever we can. And then when we get to the end of it and we haven't resolved it, then we pray. It's like, wait, so we're praying last and not first? Right. So we can be in the water. You can be on the boat, and it's a stormy boat. You can get thrown into the water, and you don't know how you're going to survive. You can be in the process of being eaten by a great fish, and we don't pray. And then when we end up in the belly of the fish and there's nowhere left to go and no more room for us to wiggle, then we pray. It's like, wait, what are we doing? We're praying last at the end when there's no more room and no more wiggle. You're sitting there thinking, well, theologically, Dave, what would be the reason that the Bible would teach that you and I would pray last and not first? I'm going to answer that question. Don't care who I offend. You should know that. You know why we pray last instead of first? Because we're lunatics. That's why. Because there's something wrong with us. Because we're one brick short. Because something didn't happen and we didn't get our Wheaties. Because there wasn't enough milk in the cereal. Because you didn't have strawberries for the oatmeal. I don't know. But somewhere along this process, you and I have learned that we should go through exhausting every possible element to the very oomph. And then when you can't solve it, you come to the Lord. Huh. It's interesting how Jesus spent the evening by himself praying before the day began, not necessarily after the day ended. Perhaps we should learn how to pray to start and not always pray to close. Maybe we can learn the secret of beginning with God instead of throwing up our hands at the end and trying to end with God. You know what's wrong with this picture? We're doing the things with God last, not first. We come back. We're going to talk about what prayer is or isn't. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you take a vacation, pay off some bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there may be a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. And the best part is, you can do all of this from your laptop or smartphone. Sound interesting?
Call my friends at Online Trading Academy at 888-631-TRADE. They want to send you a Wall Street Insider's Kit so you can see what this is all about. The kit includes videos, investing articles, and even one of their most popular classes. And the best part? It's all for free. They will even throw in two free tickets to their next workshop so you can ask questions and learn more. Learn to make money when the market goes up or down. Call my friends at Online Trading Academy at 888-631-TRADE. Call 888-631-TRADE. 888-631-TRADE, or text the word INVEST to 57682. Message and data rates for texting may apply.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. The bitter divisions in American life currently stem from politics as much as from differences in race, religion, or economic status. Even tightly connected subgroups endure internal conflicts over President Trump and his policies. Jewish Americans, for instance, represent less than 2% of the national population, but that community includes some of Trump's harshest critics, as well as members of his staff and family and some of his strongest supporters. Any serious effort to unify the country must proceed one group at a time, and a good place to start would be rejection of absurd charges that the president himself is any sort of Jew hater. As Israel's visiting prime minister accurately observed, Mr. Trump has a long, unmistakable history of support for the Jewish people. Even if he fumbles questions on anti-Semitism at press conferences, his actions speak louder than any clumsy words and deserve acknowledgement from all friends of Israel. I'm Michael Medved.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. By the way, if you have a better joke than the otter joke, what is the golden rule in the animal kingdom? Do unto otters as you would have them do unto yourself. If you got a better joke than that, go to Facebook, go to the David Spoon Experience, post that joke up there. I will take the funniest joke that is posted, and I will put it, bring it on the show next week. Also, don't forget hisappointment.com, hisappointment.com, a book that will challenge you to get back into ministry work without any more hesitation. So in this prior segment, we talked about what's wrong with the picture, us praying, and what we will typically do is the same thing Jonah did, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Started praying when he was in the belly of the fish. Didn't bother to pray while he was going into the fish. Waited to the last minute, exhausted everything. When things went from bad to worse, then he started praying. Here's the bottom line. We usually are encouraged in Scripture to pray in the beginning of everything. We are really good at praying at the end of everything. Why? Because we're not that smart. That's why. I have to make this, you know, it's not really that smart. Oh, okay. So I wanted to talk about prayer in regards to definition and in regards to some of the little things that are out there in the little Christian world universe of prayer. I love to talk about this. One of my favorite things. So what is prayer, in fact? Prayer means to ask, to request, to desire, watch this, to commune. But a good working definition that many people can adapt to is talking to God in any way we can. Any kind of communion with God. Now, I want to make a point here because this is where some of the weird stuff in Christianity seems to fly into the universe. There are people, and this actually happened to me, and you can say it doesn't happen, but you're wrong. There are people that say when you pray, you have to put your hands together and you have to point your fingers upward. Because if you point your fingers downward with your hands together, you're actually praying to the devil. Now, the only problem with that is if you're a Christian and you get into a car accident, God forbid, and you're put in a body cast, God forbid, and your hands have to be pointing down and you want to pray to the Lord, you're not allowed to because you'd be praying to the devil. Okay, can you get dumber than that? I'm not sure. Here's another thing that's unique. People are like, you can only pray in this location. Well, it seems to me we just read that Jonah was praying from the inside of a fish. So I'm going to go the location might not be the big deal. It's like inside of a fish. You got people praying in all different positions, in all different places, at all different times, because God doesn't care. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to commune with him. But Dave, don't I have to have my body pointing in a certain way? No. I bet there's plenty of people that were hanging upside down that did a lot of praying. You get my drift? So here's the reality. Does God care where the body part location is? Don't be absurd. You know, the one thing, I love my in-laws. I love them. But the game that my wife and her sister play is when the group is praying, they usually open up one eye and see who's got their eyes open so they can bust the other person who's got their eyes open when everybody's praying. Do you think God's upset about that? Oh, no, they're playing. Oh, heaven will not survive. Oh, come on. You got to be kidding. You got to pull that back. It's not body parts. It's not locations. And let me tell you something else it's not. It's not formulas. You know when Jesus said pray in this manner, the word manner means model. But if you don't pray exactly in that model, it's not as though your prayers would never be heard. Or how could any of the Old Testament prayers ever have been heard? Or how could any of the prayers up to that model been heard? Or how about the 30 prayers after Jesus modeled it that aren't following that model that were still answered? You see, you can't do stuff like that. This is not about body parts. It's not about locations, and it's not about formulas. Well, you got to pray it this way. You got to say this, this. You got to do this, this. No, you don't. The greatest prayer in the world is God help. It's the best prayer ever. Four letters tells you everything everybody has to know. Help. Now, do I think you should pray in Jesus' name? I do, in the sense that how could you not come in the name of Christ, since he deserves all things and you come in his name? It kind of gives you that position, and he tells, ask in my name. But would God absolutely never hear a prayer that's not in Jesus' name? Have you read the Bible? Do you know that nowhere in the Bible are they saying it that way? And I close all my prayers in Jesus' name. Everyone. I've been doing it for 40 years. You tell me God won't hear the prayer of a person who does it differently? You're wrong. You're wrong. It's the Lord will hear it. Now, is it more favorable to come in the name of Christ? I think Scripture makes that a good declaration. John chapter 16 would be the chapter I would use, three different places. Does that mean God's deaf to everything else? No, doesn't mean that. It's just a legalism. But I want to talk about that legalism because there's two points. I'm never going to have the time to do this. So there's this. Maybe we'll go to this one point that's really important. And here's the point that I want to talk about. When we are thinking about prayer, many of us are thinking, no. The Lord's going to say no. When you pray, is there a large level of expectation? Let me explain to you why we don't pray with a high level of expectation, why we are thinking no. Comes out of James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Been waiting to talk about this for a while. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. A lot of people don't expect their prayers to be answered because they don't feel like they're like Elijah, an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A lot of people don't feel righteous. They come before the Lord and they feel guilty. Like, I ain't going to answer this. I know what I am. And they think, well, I got to be righteous like Elijah, who, by the way, ran away from Jezebel when she threatened him with a letter, which was not the most astute thing to do in the world. Here's the thing you need to understand about that word, a righteous man. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Greek word is dikaios, which means, by implication, innocent. So you can understand that as the effective fervent prayer of an innocent man. Well, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you were made innocent. And so your prayers are effective like Elijah, because if you come in the name of the Lord, you're coming with the covering of innocence and the righteousness of Christ. You know why you should expect your prayers to be answered? Because of Jesus. That's why. And so the idea is to understand that it's not you attaining to a level of righteousness as much as you standing in the righteousness. Does that still require a formula? No. Because God knows if you're coming in the name of Christ or not. It's not that you got to speak it per se. He knows what's in your heart. But the idea is to understand that you are not having a disproportionate amount of prayers unanswered because you don't attain to the righteousness of Elijah. Who came up with that brainiac idea? We come in the name of Christ. The new covenant is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe it. We come in that innocence. So instead of not expecting prayers to be answered, we should be expecting them to be answered, especially if we're in communion with God, because then we're a lot more likely in tune with God. And he hears us, and you know, as Scripture tells you in 1 John, if he hears you, we have the petition that we've brought before him. The expectation of God answering our prayer should be high, because God is not the Grinch. You understand? He's not this guy that's like, well, I've got a nickel. Maybe I'll give the kid a nickel. Okay, that could have been your grandma or grandpa. I'm not saying it wasn't. But that's not God. He gave of himself, sacrificing his very own son just for our benefit while we were still enemies. That's the generosity of God. Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk about the character of prayer, because there's two cool things that we need to operate in prayer with that help us in this process. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
Our greatest hope comes from trusting God.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brannan. Even all these years after losing our 17-year-old daughter Melissa in a car accident in 2002, I sometimes find myself entering the world of what if. It's easy in grief to reimagine the events of that tragic June evening and think of factors that, if rearranged, would have had Mel arriving safely home. Dave continues, "In reality, though, the land of what if is not a good place to be for any of us. It is a place of regret, second-guessing, and hopelessness. While the grief is real and the sadness endures, life is better and God is honored if we dwell in the world of what is. In that world, we can find hope, encouragement, and comfort. We have the sure hope, the assurance, that because Melissa loved Jesus, she is in a place that is better by far. We have the helpful presence of the God of all comfort. We have God's ever-present help in trouble, and we often have the encouragement of fellow believers. We all wish to avoid the tragedies of life, but when we do face hard times, our greatest help comes from trusting God, our sure hope in the land of what is." We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm having more fun than you are. You're just going to have to put up with me. With the first segment, we talked about the reality that people pray at the end of a situation, not the beginning of a situation. Why? Because we're not smart. The second thing we've talked about is the reality that most of us have all of these really cool, okay, let me rephrase that, really dumb formulas, these really dumb body part location ideas that have to happen with prayer. And it's like, will you stop that? Can you imagine if your child had to come to you and bounce on one leg and twirl something in the other arm and then say, Dad, I got a cut. Can you help clean it out? I mean, that is just so dumb. And then we talked about the lack of expectation, which I just really want to get into, because people have this sense that if they are not righteous like Elijah, God's never going to say yes. Which people fail to recognize that he said yes when you said, will you save me? So obviously he's answering your prayers. So that just is a no-go right there. But this part I could not pass up. I was going to pass it up. I just can't do it. This is the level of expectation to which the church needs to do better then. Ready? This is out of Acts chapter 12. I want you to listen. Listen to this story. And this, for those people that don't think God has a sense of humor, besides a pocket mirror, this is really going to help you. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Listen to verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What did I just say? What did this mean? Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What is the church doing? Constantly praying for Peter. Peter was kept in prison. They were constantly in prayer for Peter to be rescued from prison. You understand that? You got to get that. They're praying for Peter, praying for his deliverance. Verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So here's Peter sleeping the night before he's going to be executed. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise quickly. His chains fell off. So he went and followed him, did not know what was being done. Was either an angel was real, or he thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't even know what's going on. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, went down one street. Immediately the angel departed from him. So when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. Remember what I said in verse 5? They were praying. They constantly prayed to God for Peter. Verse 13. As Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice. Because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. So Peter, taken out of prison by an angel, the church praying for Peter's deliverance, he goes to the house where the church is meeting. He knocks on the door. He's knocking on the door. Rhoda, the servant girl, hears that it's Peter, and what does she do? She gets so excited, she doesn't open the door. She doesn't open the door. Are you getting that? So, what happens? She recognizes Peter's voice because the gladness, she did not open the gate. She ran and announced that Peter stood before them at the gate. They said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. They said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking. Verse 16. So Peter's knocking. Open up. Rhoda goes to the door. Oh my goodness, it's Peter. Whoa. And she runs back to tell all the people that are praying for Peter. Peter's at the door. They're all going, you're nuts. Peter at the same time is going like this. Open the door. Open the door. I'm out here. Open the door, please. I've just escaped prison. Can somebody open the door? And Rhoda is arguing with the leaders of the church on whether it's Peter or not. All the time that Peter's knocking on the door, going, open the door. Open the door. I'm out here in the street. Please open the door. And when they opened the door, here's what the scripture says. Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You know why they were astonished? Because God answered their prayer. You see, they were praying that Peter would be delivered from prison. And Peter is then knocking at the door. And what are they? They're in denial. They're in amazement. You following me? So what's taking place is Peter is escaped out of jail by an angel, the church, praying for him to be delivered. He is delivered. The church finds out that Peter's at the door, and they don't believe it. Why not? Why don't they believe that it's Peter? Because they didn't really expect God to answer the prayers. They were astonished that he answered the prayers. Their expectation level was so low that when God said yes, they were amazed. That's too low. You and I can't do that. In fact, we are supposed to be dogmatic in our persistence in prayer. Can I share with you a brief story from Jesus? When he spoke a parable to them, the men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' For he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me out.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?'" In other words, this widow was knocking on the door, and I just want you to listen to this. I know you're on radio, but just listen. If you're in bed and you hear this, you might not get up, right? I wouldn't. Would you get up? I wouldn't get up. But if you hear this, you might be going, "What is going on here?" And then you hear this, and you're thinking, "I'm in bed. Will you stop knocking?" And what do you do if the knocking keeps going? "All right, I'm coming to the door." That's the whole principle of persistence. There it is, in a sound. You keep knocking until the door is opened, and you don't stop. And that's what Jesus taught us to do in prayer. He's like, "Yeah, just keep on knocking. Be like that annoying widow woman. Just keep knocking and praying. Keep knocking and praying. You should be expecting, and you should be persistent." And you're thinking, well, is that how you're supposed to pray? There are five other illustrations of this in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke alone. The idea is to pray with expectation and to pray with persistence. I just want you to imagine if you found out that on the other side of a door that you were knocking on was $1 million, and all you had to do was keep knocking until they opened the door, how long would you knock? How long? Somebody's going to give you a cool million in cash, tax-free, and you can get it if you keep knocking long enough. How long are you going to knock? Aren't you going to keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking? Well, you know what? When you get an answer to prayer, it's cooler than that because it's supernatural. Ooh, people couldn't even pay for it. You can't even buy it. It's the kingdom of God crashing into the kingdom of earth with God's authority and power in response to that which you persist upon. And if you're persistent and expectant, you get through. Remember what Jesus said? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. What's the last thing he said? Knock and it shall be opened. That's the attitude of asking, seeking, and knocking. That's the secret. It's not even a secret. It works with everything. If your child pesters you long enough, at some point you go, "Okay, that's enough. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. Corned beef it is." You know, it's like, that's enough. You understand? Persistent and expectant. And that means nothing, because when I come back in the very last segment, I'm going to tell you the coolest part of prayer that maybe you haven't heard before, what the end game of prayer really is for the Christian. Ooh, get out. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, "Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done." Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
What makes you feel strong? What makes you feel weak? Giving your kids a piggyback ride? Strong. Having to ice your shoulders the next day because of it? Weak. Finishing a 5K? Strong. Being too tired to drive home afterwards? Weak. On a more serious note, have you ever felt spiritual weakness? When you don't have the strength to resist sin and follow God. You're not alone in this. In the Bible, Paul battled against a weakness that God wouldn't take away from him. That struggle taught Paul an important lesson.
When I am weak, then I am strong. For God's power is made perfect in weakness.
Are you feeling weak today? Then trust more and more in the saving power of Jesus Christ. That power is stronger than any weakness we feel. We can tell you more about this at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Are you blaming God for what ought to be blamed on Satan? This is Jim Garlow. I was listening to a TV interview about a child who was severely deformed. The parents said, "We don't know why God did this, but we were so lucky to find a plastic surgeon who could correct it." I was saddened to hear that response. How much better to have believed and said, "We don't understand why in our broken world that the enemy has been able to inflict suffering upon people, including our child. But we praise God that in His wisdom, He's given knowledge and the skill to physicians, and He's given us resources to provide for our child's care so that he can be made well." See the difference? Heartache and pain and suffering comes from the enemy. Scripture says all good and perfect things come from the Father. For more, go to jimgarlow.com. Live out your faith.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon@kprz.com. I'm getting ready to teach this communicate this very last portion on prayer. The very first segment we talked about, we covered on what's wrong with the picture, which is us praying at the end of every situation and not in the beginning because we're not that bright. And then we talked about body parts, locations, and formulas in prayer. For some reason, people think you need to be in a certain position or a certain place to pray. And we recognize that when Jonah prayed and got his deliverance, he was in the belly of a fish. Not exactly holy ground. I'm just saying, you can say whatever you want. Not exactly holy ground. And then we talked about the two necessary components, which was expectation and persistence. An expectation can be seen with the church praying for Peter in Acts chapter 12 and then God answering their prayer and then the church not believing it. Oh, no, that's not him. Like, what do you mean that's not him? That's him. He's knocking at the door. No, it's not. And then the reality of the story of the widow woman who wanted justice and the judge who said, I don't fear God, I don't care about anybody, but if she doesn't stop knocking, I'm going to lose my mind. And so that was how Jesus taught us to pray. But all of that is for naught, a kind of King Jamesy word for nothing, to understand what the end game is in prayer. What do we got for music?
What a friend we have in Jesus.
You can't beat that. Here it is. What is the coolest thing about prayer? The end game, the bottom line. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Ready? 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 Answered prayer glorifies God. Uh-oh, what, Dave? Come on. The Jewish guy has lost his mind. Really? Let's see. John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Back it up. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You want to know what the end game of prayer and answered prayer is? Glory to God. Woo-hoo. I don't know how you can get any. Listen, you know why God answers prayer? So he can engage with his people and people can go, right on, God. You know, when you have an answer to prayer, don't tell me. I know it is the most outstanding. It's like, oh, my goodness. The Lord said yes and answered this prayer. And it is like a spiritual, I'm in the ozone. And you know it's true. You know it's true. From the whether it was the euphoric moment that you got saved to any other prayer request that you've brought before the Lord where the Lord said yes and you were like, right on. I'm connected to the supernatural. I mean, you thought it was cool. Come on. But if you think, wait, John 14, 1 through, or 12 through 14, Dave, I need more. Oh, okay. I'm glad you asked for more. John 15, 7 through 8, doesn't take much. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. I'll just say it again so you can make sure you're on the same page. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. It's like, yeah. So when I'm asking in prayer and I'm coming in the name of Jesus and God is answering that prayer, the Father is glorified through the Son, and that is a much bigger deal than anything else. Yes, I need to pray with persistence. And yes, I need to have expectation. And no, I don't have to come in my own righteousness. I have to come in the righteousness of Jesus. And no, I don't have to have certain body parts pointing in certain ways or being in certain locations or having these specific formulas. And by golly, I don't need to be praying at the end of something. I need to be praying at the beginning of something. But all of that pales compared to recognizing that answered prayer glorifies God. And it's like, no, wait, you're telling me when I pray and there's an answer to that prayer that God gets glory? Yes. It's glory through Jesus Christ. It's glory through your praise. It's glory through the praise of other people who are touched by that same thing that you might not even know about. It's all these facets of glory and honor to the Lord that you can't even see. And now you understand why prayer is such a powerful tool. Like, wait a second. You mean when we ask something and the Lord does it, that he's getting glory and it's honoring the name of Jesus Christ? Bingo. You win the prize. Get the little kazoo and go on home. Because the bottom line is, when we engage with God, it is that opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance. And that advancement doesn't have to be something you determine as the advancement in the kingdom of God, because there are things going on that you and I could never see. And God is being honored and glorified in ways you and I could never understand. But because we trust him and believe his word, we stand in that. Answered prayer glorifies God. I think that's just pretty cool. All by itself. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a 72-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity then. Talk to you.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
The hometown advantage. You can see it in that new shop down on Main Street, in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. It's because of people like Reggie in finance and Ruth, the paramedic. Keisha, the designer, has it, and so does Orlando, the nurse. They live around here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference.